I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Ryan Wood and Tom Silverstein. Guys, welcome so much back into the Green 19 podcast. Thanks for having me back as well. I really enjoyed it, and Packers fans should have enjoyed it as well. They walk away with a 17-0 win, the first shutout for the Packers defense since 2018 when they shut out the Buffalo Bills. Tom, I'm going to start with you. How impressed were you with the Packers defense tonight?
I thought that, you know, there were some opportunities for Seattle if Russell Wilson had been a little more accurate with his throws. Most importantly, they did it and were still able to pretty much shut down the run game. And if you can do that, if you can shut down the run game with six guys, then you're doing a pretty good job.
Ryan, I know you and I have talked about this already tonight, but I just kind of want to hear your thoughts again. How much tighter is this secondary growing and really becoming a strength of this defense?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking tonight, I've seen Packers defenses like in early part 2014, 2016, 17 that couldn't tackle. Been an issue late in the Dom Capers era. At times, obviously, we all watched the NFC Championship game last year. It's been opportunistic, obviously, two interceptions tonight. And I thought Aaron Rodgers really hit the nail on the head and was really insightful with what this scheme does when he said the Packers with Joe Barry's scheme, they're able to stop the run with a light box, which allows them to two-shell everything. And when you're able to do that, you know, that's something that Mike Pettin tried to do. He did it by sliding a safety in an inside linebacker, and they were a light box that way, and they got ran all over. When you're able to stop the run with a light box and play two-shell, you've got both bases covered in a way that they just never really did with Mike Pettin. They struggled, obviously, with the run, and they were better against the pass. But
if they're really bad, if both guys are out for the year, Rashawn Gary with what looked to be arm, maybe bicep, maybe chest.
I think Rashawn Gary was officially labeled an elbow.
An elbow?
An elbow.
Yeah, well, that could be a bicep, could be a tricep.
Cost B.J. Raji all the 2015 season. That is not an injury you want to have.
It really depends. I remember Ken Norton Jr., the Seahawks defensive coordinator, played a season with a torn biceps. But I can't imagine that a guy like Rashawn Gary who would need and we don't know that that's what it is. But if he's out, that is a huge blow. That guy is their best pass rusher.
And then Whitney Mercilus also left the game with an injury. That one was for sure labeled a bicep. Happened when he was trying to sack Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson was able to get out of the sack in a very classic Russell Wilson play, and might have lost Whitney Mercilus in the midst of it. Both Mercilus and Gary had a sack tonight, which kind of showed you again just how important they are in the push. Do you trust what's behind them if their injuries are long term? You're left with what I think we said Preston Smith earlier.
You know, Jonathan Garvin's had some decent moments. He's a depth guy. He's not a guy that you want to get through an entire game with. But Jonathan Garvin, I don't think that playing Jonathan Garvin an entire game will cost him a win against the Minnesota Vikings. I think where it hurts is if it's long-term. Long-term, that hurts. But they can get through the regular season, you know, for the most part. In the playoffs, that's when it would matter.
I think if you lost one of those two guys, you could survive. I mean, it's going to be tough losing Rashawn Gary. He was playing really good football. He's a threat to get to the quarterback, to pressure the quarterback. Preston Smith is having an okay year, nothing special. We don't know what's going to happen with Za'Darius Smith. But at least if Rashawn Gary were out and you had Mercilus, then I think you might be okay. But if both those guys are out, man, where's their pass rush come from? Now all of a sudden you got to think about bringing guys. Blitzing guys to get some pass rush.
Do you think it is a big enough loss if you lose both of them for a significant amount of time that you look outside the building?
You're not going to get a pass rusher at this point.
That's true.
I mean, pass rushers are huge commodities. Mm-hmm. And so if there's one available, you know, you can't trade for one. You hope someone gets cut, but I don't know that that's going to happen.
They were lucky to get Whitney Mercilus in the first place.
They were.
They were really, really fortunate. And when they pounced on that, that was a really good signing. So, yeah, good luck with that.
Preston Smith did come away with a sack tonight as well. So, you know, you're not completely barefoot there, but you're not far off. We talked about the secondary a minute ago. There was an interception in the end zone. There were three interceptions in the end zone tonight. Guys, I don't know if I've ever seen that in a game with that many. Two on Russell Wilson, one on Aaron Rodgers. In fact, there were no touchdown passes tonight. All the touchdowns came on runs. And that's kind of what I want to get to. After one of the interceptions in the end zone, I believe it was the one from Amos, Packers got the ball back and ended that drive with a touchdown. Not only did they end that drive with a touchdown, that drive took 6 minutes and 11 seconds off the clock in the fourth quarter. All total tonight, their time of possession was, let me pull it up back up here. I want to say it was like 30. Yes, they held the ball for 39 minutes and 9 seconds. Seattle had it for 20 minutes and 51 seconds. I remember college coach Will Muschamp saying one time, he used to say this all the time, win the turnover battle, win the time of possession, win the game. Those were his two biggest things. They won the turnover battle. They killed the time of possession, and they really did that with the ground game. They lost Aaron Jones tonight. Don't know how long for with an MCL. With Aaron Jones, without Aaron Jones, we can get into his impact on the impact of his injury in a second ago, but how much stronger has this run game become? Because, you know, you have MVS, you bring back Randall Cobb, you have arguably the best receiver in the league in Devontae Smith, but how big of a strength has the run game become for this offense? Spoon, I'll start with you.
Well, it is, to me, it was the reason they won the game tonight. I think without A.J. Dillon, without Aaron Jones, they don't win the game. Rodgers, in his debut, we haven't even mentioned that he made his return from COVID and played, you know, had numbers, but he was pretty average. And I really don't think they win without Jones and Dillon. And Dillon was really good. I mean, Dillon got some tough yards. He got a 50-yard completion in the slot. I mean, in the flat. Jones had a couple of screens that were really big. I thought they played a pretty big role.
Jones and Dillon. Let me add this to him real quick. Jones and Dillon.
AJ Dillon.
In the passing guard. Yes, Jones and Dillon.
Oh.
That's that. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, in the passing game, technically, they were pretty much all screens, like you said, had between them 123 yards.
Right.
That's a nice chunk of what Aaron Rodgers' total was for passing. He finished with 292. And then on the ground, they had between them 91 yards. So that's, do the math, 23, 91, that's math I don't want to do this late. They were responsible for the large majority of the Packers' total 393 yards. So, they, to your point, they carried the game. They won the game. Go ahead, Ryan.
Would you say Aaron Rodgers was even average? I don't think he was even average. I think he was less than average. I was being nice. Yeah. You, Spoon, being that way. This is
I've been beat
a huge down. Day in Green 19 podcast history.
I've been beaten down by Twitter.
First time was finally nice to Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers' final stat line was 23 of 37 for 292, one sack, one interception, rating of 75.5. Again, of those 292, there were a significant portion of screens tonight.
Yeah, and if you go down, I thought that he missed the throw to MVS on the 41-yarder. It made MVS make an adjustment. He hits him in the stride. That's a touchdown. He obviously missed the Alan Lazard throw on the next drive, third down. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's a throw you just rarely see Aaron Rodgers miss. That's a sluggish. That's a rust throw there. Seeing it late, underthrowing it. He made the worst decision he's made all season. And that red zone pick into the end zone. That's... You know what that was? That was a Jordan Love pick. That's the type of pick you'd expect a guy who's playing his second career game to maybe make, not Aaron Rodgers.
You got he should know. You eat it there. You take the sack. The guy was he was rushing in his face. Right? He'd already stepped out of the side and flushed the pocket right. The first sack attempt.
Falling down, right?
Yeah, falling down. He was getting hit.
You take the sack. Like he was trying to throw it away and didn't get enough air under it.
Well, I'm sure he was. That's why you take the sack.
Yeah. You can't make that.
No.
Not even he can make that.
You take the sack on that one and you get a chip shot field goal because they were at the 15-yard line to start. So I think that there's no question that he was not just rusty, but the lack of preparation during the week had a major effect. It's extremely difficult to have a quarterback execute a game plan, no matter who it is, without practicing it once, without having a single rep. And that's what the Packers tried to do tonight. And you add on everything else, the physical exertion of coming off COVID-19, and let's face it, the emotional toll of getting completely kicked around nationally for 11 days, something that he clearly did not expect to have happen when the first time he went on Pat McAfee, to have that blow up on in his face, to have sponsors either separate themselves or explain why they weren't separating themselves from him. It was one of the most exacting, one of the most tiresome, fatiguing weeks that Aaron Rodgers has ever had as a professional. And you've got to think that plus the lack of practice time in conjunction had some effect on him looking below average tonight.
And before people think that we're just piling on to Aaron Rodgers and assuming that, let's point out he admitted that himself after the game. He said that was a toiling week. It was hard. It was maybe even a little bit harder than he was predicting it would be to come back from that. And that he did have a little bit of a tough time getting into it. He gave a lot of credit to Matt LaFleur for calling a game in the first quarter that allowed him to ease back into it, because he told him that he was going to have to handle the beginning of the game a little bit of Ron Burgundy style, that, you know, used to the two of them could sort of complete each other's sentences, and that tonight Aaron Rodgers was just going to be repeating everything that Matt LaFleur said. Tom, by the end of the game, did you see a little bit more comfortability from Rodgers that gives you, I guess, hope that if he can at least just get a week of practice under his belt, they'll be okay heading into Minnesota?
I didn't see anything like that, but that doesn't mean that next week he won't be much more like himself. I just think, like Ryan, I agree with everything Ryan said. The totality of the week had to weigh on him. And I think more than anything, I think when he's between the lines, he's probably not thinking much about all the other stuff. But I'm sorry, he had not played a game since October 28th and had not had practice for, what, 15 minutes, you know, on a Monday?
It was a light practice that Monday, too, because it was the first practice back from the extended bye week, the mini bye week, and they didn't do anything that week, and just a little, really light practice that Monday, not a rigorous practice.
Right. I mean, you can go in the backyard and throw the ball to your dog or whatever, and it's just not the same.
You playing with Air Bud back there?
Yeah, or whatever. Maybe he's got a retriever. I don't know. But you just – oh, he's – seen those Blue Jeans commercials? He throws a ball to a dog, you know. So whatever that
Favre? Was that Brett Favre? Did Brett Favre had one of those, or am I missing?
Yeah, he had one too, but I think Rodgers had one too.
Oh, really?
Anyway,
Jimmy Garoppolo had one.
Yeah. Well.
Anyways,
I don't think.
Sorry.
I just, you know, you could be the best athlete in the world. Maybe Bo Jackson could come through or maybe Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, but he was just not sharp. So understandable. I mean, I don't think that's ragging on him.
No.
I think that's the basic truth.
Well, the good news is that it's not something that is going to be permanent either.
Right.
Right.
Like,
right.
Let the guy knock some rust off, and he'll be right back to where he was. And, oh, by the way, they still have a top 10 defense.
And Devontae Adams, you know, to your point, Devontae Adams said after the Chiefs game, he had a little bit of rust and a little bit of fatigue. He looked to be back to himself tonight. I mean, he only had, I think, 7 receptions on 11 targets, which still seems outlandish to me, but, you know, apparently is par for the course with him. But it was a run game night. But Devontae Adams, to his part, did not look as sluggish. He looked to be more like himself. So it's something they can come back from. But Matt LaFleur said tonight after the game, you know, you have to find ways to win in this league. If there's a night where your, you know, legendary quarterback is a little off his game, you need to have that run game you can lean on. If there's a night where the offense as a total is having a little bit of a rough start, you need to have that defense to lean on. And then if next week, if the defense is having trouble, Aaron Rodgers is probably back to his normal self and able to lead them out. All of that to say, do you think that when everything starts to click and getting closer to the postseason, that's when you want things to click, is this a complete team? And that includes the special teams, so take that into account as well. Ryan, I'll let you go first.
I've seen some field goals be pretty clutch or not clutch in January. I've seen Packers seasons that were destined to the Super Bowl not get there because of special teams. Kind of has one of those feels, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Tom? That, you know, I'm not saying it's 2014 verbatim, but you know, go back to 2014. Everyone knew the special teams was a problem, and everyone knew by that they really could not make kicks that year, and they got even it probably had even more problems in 2014 than everyone knows the problem this year, right? They cannot get their field goal operation right, and at this point, I don't think they're going to get it right. I don't see where the magic solution is, because it's been 10 weeks and it's been a problem the entire season. They missed 8 kicks, 7 field goals. Mason Crosby's 14 for 21. He missed one tonight that looked like it was on him. But it also looked like he was an uncomfortable kicker.
Yeah.
Right? And I mean, why would he be comfortable?
You know this, right, exactly. You know this is in his head. It's yes. Got to be. He's never going to trust that the operation.
So
yeah. It's like hitting golf balls, you know, and you get frustrated. I'm not so sure that they can't correct it by the postseason, but I do think this foundation of ineptitude has been set, and they're going to, all the way through the playoffs, people are going to be remembering, and you know, that this happened. And
I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
I won't believe it until I see it. It's been a problem every single week.
I mean,
it's, and they made some big kicks, too, to their credit. San Francisco finally in Cincinnati. It took a minute, but finally they got to a big kick that they made. They made some big, but it's been a problem for so long. I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing I want to pour a little bit of water on this game is that Seattle's not a good football team. I thought they were better than their offensive line is terrible, and Russell Wilson's their entire team. Those two wide receivers and the two safeties. That's really what their team is made of, and Russell Wilson wasn't very good.
And this is why he's unhappy.
Yeah,
he knows
right.
it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They never fixed the offensive line. And if Russell Wilson is healthy and Aaron Rodgers is healthy, then it might have been a more interesting game. But the Packers are a better team. It's just the record shows it. And so I think next week against Minnesota is going to be a real good test for them. I think that is, you know.
You think Minnesota's a better test than Seattle?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Minnesota is a good team. Minnesota plays people tough. Every single team they play tough.
I think I saw where all of their games this year, this was before today. I don't honestly know how their game went this weekend.
They won. But, they won on the road.
Before they had 7 games decided by 7 points or less.
I think they buzzsaw both teams, Seattle and Minnesota, and then come the Los Angeles Rams, and that's the test. A few days after Thanksgiving, that Rams game here. That's, and look, 3 weeks ago we were talking about how the Packers defense was about to go against the upper echelon quarterbacks, and so I don't think we can discount what they've done, because I mean they deserve a lot of credit. 21 points on Kyler Murray, 13 points on Patrick Mahomes, shutout on Russell Wilson. That's pretty impressive. But that Rams game, that's going to be awfully telling. There's 4 2-loss teams in the conference. Those are 2 of them. Dallas and Arizona, the other 2.
I'm still going to tell you, I think Minnesota is a possible Death Valley for them.
Okay.
I really do.
Do you think they could lose that game?
I think they could lose that game.
Really?
Easily. They traditionally, Minnesota plays them extremely tough out there. And you know, you're talking about Minnesota's season being on the line. You're talking about huge crowd advantage. And maybe You know, they don't have Aaron Jones. Maybe they don't have Rashawn Gary, and they don't have Merciless. This is going to be a pretty good test.
Short of Aaron Rodgers breaking his collarbone, which, I mean, it is Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's happened before. Mm-hmm. Short of that, I say they win. But, you know, Spoon, I often defer to you.
Yeah. I mean, y'all have been doing this longer than I have, but I just don't see with the way this secondary, and I understand you lose a lot in the front seven, but with the way this secondary has been playing the past 3 weeks, I don't see Kirk Cousins being the one to figure them out.
Okay, I'm just telling you guys.
Spoon, your shirt does kind of look a little purple.
He is absolutely going to hold his head when he's right.
Yeah, he totally is.
I've seen more Packer debacles in the Metrodome and in this place than you can count on both your toes. I mean, both your feet. It's a tough place to play.
Can you do me a favor, Spoon? When the Packers lose next week, can you rub it in our nose, please?
Can you like make us sing Prince?
You wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that.
Yeah, you could, and you can do likewise. If I'm wrong on that one, you may do the same.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like we should. Whoever's wrong should have to go to a karaoke bar after the game on Sunday and sing Purple Rain.
I'll do that even if I'm right. That's fine with me.
That was actually already on the schedule.
How many brewskis do I get first?
That was already.
I'd need a lot of Leap Vodka for that.
Nice little plug. There you go.
Don't tip me. Don't tip me, Cassidy.
Okay, guys. Before we head out, just kind of last thoughts on where this team is at this point. You know, Aaron Rodgers repeatedly has said that this team reminds him of that 2010 season. Some of that has to do with a lot of the injuries, but also just kind of finding ways to win, you know, gritting it out and doing what you can. Do you see this team, I guess, on that same path at this point of the season? You were here, so go for it.
Before I answer that question, I want to get thoughts on this.
Okay.
Is this the last time we've seen Aaron Rodgers live in a press conference?
Yes. And you know what? I'm not answering that to say he won't be back in 2022. I don't know if we're going to be in the locker room in 2022. I'll believe that when I see it too. And don't even get me on that soapbox. I'm going to stop it right there.
So even on the road, you don't think he's going to come to the podium?
I think if they make it to the Super Bowl, he does that media gauntlet on the field.
Know. Think of it this way. There's no way in the world that he could be caught on photo wearing a mask, right? Like after everything that he said, he politicized the issue.
So was it? But it was it was mask wearing politicizing? He didn't really. That I'd never heard him say he's against wearing masks.
No,
I just wonder if it's
every buzzword.
Is it more of a vanity thing that he just doesn't want to be seen in a mask?
I don't know. It's up. It's open to
interpretation. I'm willing to ask them that on Wednesday. I am.
Oh, there will be more COVID-19 questions on Wednesday.
Let me ask you this though. I know he did it over Zoom after this Seahawks game, but that's been the Packers' rule for any unvaccinated player, pretty much, right?
No, they can come out as long as they wear a mask.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they've come out in masks.
Yep. It's just that they've had guys. They're, you're right. They have not brought anybody out who is unvaccinated.
You know, I think that he didn't want to cause a circus. It would have been a circus if he would have worn a mask.
Think so?
More so than him being on Zoom, sitting in a nice casual setting, sipping on a bottle of water.
Because Zoom, the only people that are really affected by him being on Zoom are us. You know, like you said, but if he's in the mask, it becomes what's talked about on late night news, and the pictures are everywhere. It becomes the circus again.
I do think there's an element of his feelings, and he's called it polarized himself, right? It is a polarized issue. His feelings now are very clear on the issue. He articulated them for 46 minutes. Knowing what we know about his feelings on a very polarized issue, I could not picture mentally in my brain seeing Aaron Rodgers
and wearing a mask. That's a
good
point.
See it.
Yeah.
I
do think if they make it to the Super Bowl, he ends up doing that media in person.
And I say that in no judgment. It's his right
right
to not wear a mask and do Zoom.
Sure. Yeah.
He's not doing anything wrong there. That's his right. I, as a media member, would prefer if he was in person because, and this is a little inside baseball, but there's less team control over the media access,
yeah, over
which as a fan is what you should want.
Right.
Because it's more organic in who gets to ask questions.
And there's back and forth.
Yes.
Your mic's not getting muted.
Exactly. All those things. But it's absolutely within Aaron Rodgers' right to do what he did tonight. He did nothing wrong. He for the first time all season, he followed NFL protocol for COVID-19 when it comes to media interviews. He did he did what the protocol says to do. So it's within, he has one of two options, and he chose that one.
What did you think about his answer about the Super Bowl, about possibly being caught as a close contact? Because he's, as an unvaccinated player, he could still be a close contact and be forced to miss like 5 days, right? Like Alan Lazard. So he doesn't have to be tested or anything, but he could be a close contact.
He doesn't have to be tested for 90 days, but I think that 90 days pushed him up against the Super Bowl. If that was your question.
No, the question is, unless he's vaccinated, being a close contact, it doesn't preclude him from getting COVID again or being able to transmit it. That's my understanding. I guess I need to do some more research on that, but I believe he can be a close contact again, which is bad, which means, you know, like Alan Lazard had to sit out for 5 days. Mm-hmm. So
that's my belief as well. I thought it was dismissive to a potentially huge issue because, and this is what I don't think, and we've all heard from plenty of fans that want us to stop asking these questions, right? This is 100% a football question. This whole right. close contact thing.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a football question because in theory, this all-in season that you've been following since the offseason, the circus of the offseason, which pushed this all the chips onto the table, we've been talking about it for months. This all-in season could end very possibly. It's absolutely within the realm of possibility. It could end with Aaron Rodgers being a close contact and not playing a playoff game and Jordan Love playing the NFC Championship game for a trip to the Super Bowl. That could happen. That's a football question.
That's why we're asking it. Exactly. Exactly. You know? Yeah. So I agree. Anyway, now, I thought I would mention it.
What he would probably say is what Davante Adams said, right? When I asked Davante Adams what he thought about it, and he said there are some things bigger than football, like your body, and that's probably what he would say. This is more than a football decision, and if Aaron Rodgers feels that way, I'm not sure he's necessarily within the wrong to do so, but he's also the $134 million quarterback that is the entire franchise.
If that's his decision, that's his decision.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that right to make it. I mean, we have the right as media, if we're writing opinion, to criticize it, but he certainly has the right to make that decision.
Not even opinion. You have the right to say the CDC, which is the health authority in the land, says that Aaron Rodgers is wrong. And that's you know, that's what it does. So that's not an opinion. That's what the CDC says.
Well, I think to both of y'all's points, you know, like Davante Adams said, it's his decision to decide it's bigger than football, which it is very much his decision. It's also well within our right to ask about it because, like you said, he is the quarterback of a team that's trying to make a Super Bowl run, and this could come up and trip them up. But till then, they have to get past the Minnesota Vikings next week. We clearly have differing opinions on how that game is going to go, so we will wait and see, and we will hear more from Matt LaFleur soon to find out the status of Rashawn Gary, Whitney Mercilus, and Aaron Jones, all three, which are huge, huge impacts on how the rest of this season goes. Guys, thanks so much for another great show. Do y'all have any last things to add?
Not really. I the one thing I thought I took from Matt LaFleur's press conference that I forgot to mention that was interesting is he called his team a tired football team.
He did. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. I asked it in regards to Aaron Rodgers, so how much of that do you think was trying to deflect off Aaron Rodgers?
How could you not? They got 2 weeks to get to the bye.
Yeah.
Week 13 bye week. They were always going to be tired at this point. It was all week 13. That's a lot.
That is almost just like negligent. Who made that schedule?
Add everything else. they're tied for a good reason.
You know, in the end, though, a week 13 bye, because you got to go play the Vikings, then you come home to play the Rams, then you get that bye. That might, who do they have after that? The Ravens, the Lions, the Bears again?
You mm-hmm. have the schedule memorized. This is very impressive. I would not be able to answer that.
Not a hugely difficult schedule after the bye. However, if you're getting ready to make a playoff push, maybe having that bye so late in the season could be helpful. Gives you a chance to rest before what will become a gauntlet.
That's one way to look at it. Look at you being glass half full.
I try. Somebody's got to balance y'all out. Whatever comes next, we will be there to cover it all for you. Stick with PackersNews.com for wall-to-wall coverage. And thank y'all for joining this episode of the Green 19 podcast brought to you by PackersNews.com and JS Online.